Program Director at the Center for Health Innovation with Hidalgo Medical Services in Silver City, New Mexico.
Good afternoon, everybody. I think after my presentation, you'll probably begin to see some patterns developing here when we're talking about advancing community prevention and health system integration. I'm with Hidalgo Medical Services, which is in New Mexico. We serve the southwestern part. We have 11 clinics. We serve two counties. And my perspective that I'll present today is from a community health center perspective. In other words, from primary care, how we begin to bridge a primary care perspective from or into the community. Can I just see a show of hands? How many of you are associated with a health service organization, either FQHC, a rural hospital? How many are? Okay, so there are quite a few of you, which is great. So I have no disclosures. So what I'll be talking about, it once again, is core capacities. Core capacities, though, from both a community and an organizational perspective, being a health service organization. We just happen to be a community health center, but this could apply to a hospital or a rural health center or even a private practice if you're really interested in looking more at social determinants. I'll be talking a little bit about alignment and what that means to align your planning with primary care intervention and policy development, and then also some key lessons that we've learned in our experience. We've been really focusing on social determinants for the past 4 years at our organization, and then we also had the good experience of serving as consultants with a lot of the REACH funded programs and community transformation grants. So we've worked with about 20 different programs in about 10 different states. But I'll be focusing today about our experience in southwestern New Mexico. And so those of you who know where New Mexico at the top, Hidalgo County is what I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience because of its unique challenges. So it's very large geographically, but it's got a very small population. And when we say small density, we're talking less than 2 people per square mile. The unemployment rate is high. It's primarily Hispanic. It's got some pretty challenging health outcomes. Low birth rates, it's got a large alcohol-related chronic disease, high diabetes rate, very high suicide rate. Some of the social determinants are that high child poverty, it's got low education rates, high teen pregnancy rates. Just to give you a little perspective, it's also got some wonderful assets. It's got a rich culture of farming and ranching. It's got families that have been there for generations, so that it's got a very deep history. They're very resourceful, very self-sufficient. But it's also got its challenges. This is some of the environment. It used to be a thriving mining and railway industries in the county, and it's lost those industries in the last 15 years. And so we've actually seen a decrease in population pretty significantly. It now has less than 5,000 people. It's got one full-service grocery store in the entire county. It does have a nice little, certain things for youth to do, but the main population center is concentrated in the county seat, but most people have to drive, 20, 40, 60 minutes just to get to that county seat. So in terms of physical activity, it's very challenging just because of the distances and lack of transportation. It's also very dry. Even though it's an agricultural community, we're talking desert here. And so you can see we get less than 14 inches of rain. So you have to be very innovative. You have to use your resources and use them very, very wisely, not only in terms of agriculture, but other types of resources as well, because resources are fairly scarce. Here's the resourcefulness. There's one public pool in the county, but people summer temperatures will get up into the hundreds, and so this is an actual tank that is pretty common on the ranches. This is the community health center. And one good thing about low population areas is oftentimes the health service organization, in this case a community health center, it may be a hospital, you oftentimes have access to a huge population service area. Sometimes you're the only provider within the area. That's the case in Hidalgo County. We about 90% of the county residents are registered with this center, and so it became very obvious and important that we begin to take a lead in bridging that gap between what primary care can do and how we can help the community and begin to address the social determinants of health. This, of course, is a conceptual framework. Traditionally, community health centers or primary care organizations really focus on that behavior. You know, what do we see in terms of our patients? And we really need to step back and take a more of a leadership role in what's happening with that environment, because both will determine the health and safety of the patients. And so how do we do that? Once again, you've heard people talk about core competencies, and I just want to talk a little bit from our perspective. From a health service organization, there are certain competencies that really need to be present in order for you to make that leap and really be dedicated to doing things in the community and bridging the gap between primary care and community health. One of those things is innovation. And when we talk innovation, what does innovation, you know, you have to ask yourself, what does innovation look like at the organizational level? And a few things that we really emphasize, and we also do a lot of work, by the way, with other nonprofit organizations. And innovation is one of what they call a resiliency capacity that's really gaining ground nowadays in terms of successful nonprofit organizations. So in innovation at the organizational level, it's having an organizational culture that encourages, you know, to be creative and to come up with solutions not only generated from within but also externally. About 4 years ago, our community health center opened up a division. It's a research and development division called the Center for Health Innovation. We don't do any direct clinic care, but we do we're focused on really looking at those environmental causes of health. Having dedicated resources is also really important from the health service organizations. You know, how serious are that? Are you going to walk your talk if you're talking about social determinants of health? And so that means dedicating resources. And it doesn't have to be your top-level people. You don't have to have your physicians or your mid-levels out there at various community meetings. And most of us know sometimes that adds up to a lot of meetings. But perhaps you have a community health worker program or promotoras, or maybe you have other folks, you know, even your medical assistants who might be able to dedicate the time to be out there in the community. What we found is like our physicians and our mid-level make great champions. When we started doing our work, they were the best champions to really talk about, you know, fitness and nutrition to their clients and really help support the work that we do. Data collection and sharing, we talked about that at the community level. From the organizational level, as health service organizations, we have really good data to share. From a community health center point, we do UDS reports. What we were able to share with the community is really beginning to de-aggregate that data, not only saying where you have serious health outcomes, but when I say de-aggregated, I mean really looking, breaking it down by age level and ethnicity, so we could share with our community where we're seeing health inequity, you know, based on various factors. Collaboration is very important, and I'll talk a little bit more about that when I talk about community, and advocacy. What I've found out in doing this work is being part of a health service organization, you really need to advocate within your organization for this type of work, because health service organizations, whether you're a hospital or a community health center, you're competing against a lot of initiatives, a lot of pressure, you know, that's coming down. So you really have to advocate internally to say, doing this community work, doing, you know, really addressing social determinants of health is really worth it. And so you need that advocacy within the organization as well as without. From the community perspective, we had mentioned earlier leadership. That's one of those core capacities that is really, really important in the community. Having that vision and goal, you know, knowing what you're trying to do, what you're attempting to change, and having that planning process. The community engagement is also really, really key, because especially with the problem that you're trying to address and the people who are most impacted, getting them at the table. Not only is it important to have multi-sector, but making sure that you're reaching out and including those people in the decisions that are most impacted. Collaboration, we talked a little bit about that. I won't go into it more. You know, the multi-sector, making sure that you have the right partners at the table, sharing resources, and think about if your project, is it just an advisory team to someone who has money to do a project, or is this truly a community effort? If it's truly a community effort, shared resources, you're sharing your data, you're sharing responsibility, you share in that action plan all the aspects of the action plans, who's taking responsibility for various things. Once again, advocacy. Advocacy is not just dealing with your political leaders and political decision makers. Advocacy is also about advocating among your friends, your relatives, your community. It's really having that strategic communication, talking about what you're doing, talking about what's needed and what you're attempting to accomplish. Backbone organization is another core capacity, and that's jargon. Some people are real familiar. That comes from the collective impact framework. And basically that what it's saying is it's really, really helpful. We know now through a lot of studies that having an organization that can help with the communications among all your members, with providing background information, taking the minutes, helping to build their capacity, is going to lead to more success in your efforts. This is in yet another version, but it's a more simplified version to the process that we talked about in terms of your assessment, your implementation, your planning, your evaluation. So you start off with your strategic direction. Where do you want to be? And then how do you get there? And, you know, where are you there? Where are you now? With I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the factors. During that first phase, the where do we want to be? We're talking about your community participation. Having that as part of your assessment is really critical. And once again, if you're a health service organization, you're oftentimes thinking in those behavioral modes. And so how do you make that transition over to community assessment and social determinants of health? We use the Thrive survey, which was developed by the Prevention Institute. It was really, really successful in making that bridge because it dealt with things like look, feel, and safety, about jobs and housing and education, and it was community participatory, and we were able to do that on a shoestring budget. With very, very little money, we got a lot of input from the community in terms of what are those environmental factors that they felt were really important. And then we were able to take that part of the assessment and look at other data that we were able to gather in terms of health outcomes. And so, you know, what, you know, our jobs or safety or food is helpful, and then what are the health impacts? In the assessment, I want to say something else about assessment. It's reviewing existing plans. What we found out, and I think this is true in a lot of communities, but particularly in rural communities, it's looking at your city plans and your county plans. Almost every city and county will have some level of a strategic planning process or development process. And when you're talking about social determinants of health, what you'll find is that there is oftentimes an alignment. So if we're talking about we need better built environment or we need more food, two things could happen. If it's not, that was telling me I'm out of time. If it's not in the city or county plan or whatever plan is happening at that local level, make sure that it is. You need to be part of that planning process as well as having, you know, county or city or other officials be part of your planning process. So just to wrap up, lessons learned is that the health center must commit time and resources, and we talked about, you know, that it could be at various levels. Providers, your CEOs, they make great champions, but they don't necessarily have to do all the legwork. Ensure the community has the capacity to take on complex issues. And this is really key, because building that capacity, oftentimes we may decide that we have a really good goal, but making sure there's that skill and that knowledge and how you go about building that. And there's a lot of really good resources, whether you reach out to your public health department or Department of Health, or maybe there's a local nonprofit or a university, making sure that they have those essential things in place in order to do this type of work, because you're dealing with very complex social issues. Consider no-cost and low-cost options, because you might not have funding to move forward, but that doesn't mean that you can't move forward and have some successes. Community engagement and shared responsibility is key. Include evaluation from the beginning and measure your progress, because this is going to tell you, you know, are you doing well or not doing well, and making sure that you have that database. And I talked about assessment. Advocate for financing systems change to support population health. This is really, really key. We don't want to be totally grant funded all the time. We need to build a lot of the work that we do into the fundamental financing systems in the healthcare world. And then, last but not least, align primary care approach with population health and the community priorities. And as you can see, what we started out with, our little community garden, this is a year later. Through the efforts of the community, we were able to get a hoop house. We changed it into an actual teaching garden. We got trees and plants and irrigation systems, and that was all the result of community work. So thank you.